لله، الحمد لله وكفى، وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى، ما بعد. فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وأما من خاف مقام ربه ونهى النفس عن الهوى فإن الجنة هي المأوى. وقال تعالى في مقام آخر: ولمن خاف مقام ربه جنتان فبأي آلاء ربكما تكذبان. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. Alhamdulillah, as Muslims and as people of faith, we take advice from the Quran, knowing full well that sometimes, despite the advice being bitter, sometimes despite it being difficult for us to fulfill the requirements of the Quran, we know full well that it is only through the following of that which we believe in, hold firmly to, will we be able to attain the necessary success in this world as well as the hereafter. Allah in the Quran, for example, says, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ, that for the individual that is conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for that individual there will be two jannah. According to Mujahid rahmatullah alayh, and these are the people that understood tafsir very, very well, says one of the references or one of the meaning of this phrase is when a person is tempted to do that which is incorrect in nature, and despite being tempted to do that which is incorrect in nature, he fights that emotion, he lets go of that desire, and he is adamant on making the correct decision. So you are tempted to lie because it feels good. You know, people that lie, do you know why they lie at times? It's not because they want to lie as much as the excitement that is created through giving a lie. See, when you take part in certain things, your body is releasing chemicals. Like when you eat chocolate, your body releases certain chemicals. That is why you feel good. Likewise, when you speak certain acts of deception, there are certain chemicals that are being released, and those chemicals excite you. And sometimes we don't even know why we are being excited, but we know that when we do certain things, it excites us, but we don't question what it is doing within us. That means we are lying. Or some people, that excitement comes when they gamble. So when they're gambling, they're not gambling because they're winning or losing. They're gambling because of the rush, that adrenaline rush that takes place in their body. So Allah is passing a message to us that don't get caught up in that adrenaline rush. Don't get caught up in that excitement. Be aware of what Allah has presented. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. Be conscious of your Allah and don't become an adrenaline junkie. Like, why do people do drugs? Of course, there are many reasons for that. But many of them do it because of that rush, that excitement that comes in the body. And every time they do it, they are still waiting for that first rush that came. That is why they go from one drug to the next. Some men go from one woman to the next. Some women from one man to the next. What's the difference between one and the other? Because that one, they want that newness to come. That original feeling. When I was with that first girl, my wife, with that first man, my husband, with that first drug I took, that first car I have. And they become these, what I call, adrenaline junkies. So Allah is saying, don't become an adrenaline junkie. Once you have it, appreciate it, work with it, and go on and share the goodness of that, or the good advice of that, with others. You know, our brother was mentioning, just before we came here, when you're walking in the rain, even though you have an umbrella, you are going to get wet. And that's the environment we are part of. Everyone, when I say everyone, a lot of people, you know, talking of everyone, there's a real estate agent we are talking to, and he says, Imam, you know, if we went to every house and we took a methamphetamine test, methamphetamine is that thing that makes you whatever it makes you. I'm not into drugs, I don't know about drugs, but some of you are smiling like you know about it, and that's good for you, but I think you should reduce your consumption of it if you're consuming it, and if you just know about it through coincidence, then well and good. Anyway, he says, if you did a drug test in homes in America, undoubtedly 30% of the homes will test positive for having methamphetamine in it. And in certain areas, up to 70%. But I said, that many people don't deal in it. He says, yes, they may have not dealt in it, but there was somebody in that house before that has dealt in it. There was one guy that said, go ahead and do a methamphetamine test in my home. He gave them permission to do it. So they went and tested, and they said, I'm afraid there's methamphetamine in your house. He says, I've never done this drug in my life. Test me, do whatever you want. Thereafter, they said, go back and think. Either you didn't do it or someone had done it. And he went back and he's thinking. 5 years ago, he used to give a guy a ride, a lift to college, from his home to college. That guy used to deal in it. And the effects of that went into this guy's car. Now this guy will go in his car, his jacket will be on the seat, his bag will be on the seat, you name it, everything will be on the seat. And from that seat, that thing will be dragged into the home. So the trace of that came into his house. And because of that, his house now was testing positive for methamphetamine. So my brothers and sisters, we are part of an environment. And if we are not going to be conscious of our environment, we're going to end up being accused of things that we are not part of. So the Quran is saying, be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because it is only through the consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you will be able to make good decisions, and you'll reduce the corruption that is part of your life, and the type of down spiral that you are going towards will inshallah become much less. That's why the poet says it very beautifully, La tasqini ma al-hayati bidhillah. Do not quench my thirst with that which will reduce my honor and dignity. Rather, it is better that you give me a bitter pill right now, which will create honor for me later on in life. And my brothers, those of you that are young, you know, when you are young, you ride a bicycle, you play with a skateboard, you do all these things. And undoubtedly, if you had a fun life when you were young, then what happened after you fell? You got a scratch, or you got hurt. And what happens with that hurt? Blood comes out. Doesn't look good. You feel bad about it. But as that sore is healing, and you are going through the healing process, undoubtedly, what do? You start scratching. Because that scratch feels nice. It feels relaxing. You know, we all go through it. It feels comfortable. But very soon you realize in life that if you continue scratching it, blood is going to come out. It's going to make that sore even worse. And as you get older and you start looking in the mirror, what they tell you, if you don't be careful and you keep on popping that pimple, then you're going to get a scar, and boys are not going to like you, or girls are not going to like you, so you don't want to be disliked. So what do? You realize, let that pimple grow, let that scab that you have heal itself, and as it gradually heals itself, it'll come right. Like that, sin is very attractive. It's very attractive. It makes you feel good. It makes you feel nice. It makes you feel relaxed. But the destruction that it does to your iman later on is like that harmful scar that is left behind that creates more problems for you and I in the long run. Therefore, my brothers and sisters in Islam, it is very important for us to not distinguish between big sin and small sin, as much as it is important for us to say a sin is a sin, it is something that is wrong, and I'm going to stay away and refrain from it. That's your only protection. Because once you get into the debate of, well, the sin is small and the sin is not very big, who are you to judge me? Let me do what I need to do. My brothers, it'll ruin you and ruin your finances and ruin your relationship and ruin everything good you have. You know, there was a brother, and there is a family that calls me from out of town, very far away. They live very, very far. When I did my Google Maps check, it's about 1,700 miles away. But anyway, we have a discussion and we talk. And I'd like to share this whole thing with you so you can take something with you. And this is something that everyone is going through or will go through at some point in their life. There are approximately 5 brothers in the home. It's a 5-bedroom, 6-bedroom home they live in. The rent is very cheap in that area, is about $1,300. The oldest brother is about 40 years old. The youngest one is about 23 years old. So you're looking at a gap of 20 years, right? The guy who's 23 is working since he was 16. So you're looking at him working for about roughly, let's just do the math, average math, 5 years. So one brother is working for about 22 years, and all the way down, the youngest one is working for 5 years. So how many years you give working time? 25 years, and you have 2 more brothers. So roughly you have a family that is working for 50 years in America. How many? 50 years. That's a long time. If each one makes just 10,000 a year, you have how much? You do the math. By now, it is impossible to say they could have not saved $1 million, if not $500,000. See, when you talk about money, people like it. That's when they smile. Alhamdulillah. And the bigger the figures you use, the more impressed they get, and the more they smile. Because why do you smile? Because I also want $500,000. My brothers, by me talking about it, you're not going to make $500,000. It's by you doing something, you can do what you need to do. Now, I said to them, 5 brothers in a 6-bedroom home, because their parents that are alive, how come you are renting a $1,300 home? It doesn't add up. It doesn't add up. No, Imam, you know, we have to pay the house, I have to do shared income, I have to pay the light bill, and I have to pay the grocery bill, and I have to pay the water bill. I said, you know what you just said? What you said is, one person pays the light bill for 5 individuals in one home. What you're saying, there is no 5 light bills. There's 1 light bill. So where the other 4 light bills are? The money is being saved, isn't it? No, but Imam, I realize the guy is going to make stories, making stories, long stories. I said, come on, tell me what the real problem is. Give me the real problem. Nobody wants to talk. I said, I know what the problem is. The problem is, each one of you are too selfish. Because when I make my money, it's going in my bank account, and my wife and my children must live and enjoy. The other brother is thinking the very same thing. So you have 5 brothers, 4 to 5, in one home, and each one is thinking how we can screw the other brother over. In the end, what is he doing? He's screwing himself and his family over. Even when he goes to eat, he tells his children, don't tell big brother, we went here to eat. They mustn't know we went to the restaurant. Everything is for our family. So I said, why don't you put your resources together and buy that home? Then the next conversation starts. But Imam, if you went into a home, then under whose name the house is going to be? Imagine the brothers now. I said, brother, you are paying rent. For how many years you are renting the home? This given home you're renting for over 10 years. You never ask yourself where the rent money is going and what the landlord is doing with the money. The landlord who you don't know. The landlord is not even your relative. The landlord is not even a Muslim. You don't know anything about that person. You will give a landlord, a non-Muslim, minimum $1,300 a month so he can become rich on your money, but you are not wanting to put the money on your brother's name. What mentality we have as Muslims? Your brother who's going to wash your body when you die, inshallah, if you're good to your brother, if you die, he or she, the family will take care of your children. No, you don't think that way. My brother mustn't enjoy more than me. My brothers and sisters in Islam, let go of this rotten habit we have. Let's stop this internal bickering, this community conflict, family conflict. And let's start working with ourselves. Let's start working with our brothers. Let's start working with our nephews and nieces. Let's start working with our sisters. Yes, they may get a little bit more, but in the end of the day, they will say, you know, my brother, I was bad to him, but he was a good brother. My sister, why was I mean to her? At the end of the day, she was my sister. She took care of my children. She took care of mommy and daddy. It's my sister after all. So my brothers, in conclusion, yes, it feels good. It feels good to hurt the other person. It feels great to cheat that other individual. It feels magnificent to lie and make a buck. It feels superior to deal in riba and show that you are living the life. But at the end, it's like that wound. When you rip it, blood comes out. When you rip it, it leaves a scar. When you rip it, it creates that unnecessary situation. Let go of these negative things. And inshallah, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. Be conscious of Allah. Be conscious of Allah. Consciousness means make your decision as if Allah is in front of you. What does my Allah demand? To be a saint is very, very easy. You know, people tell me, to be a saint, I'm reading the Sufi scholar's work, and I'm researching this, and I have to listen to this certain song to make my mind feel this way. My brothers, forget all that. And some of the younger guys say, I have to do this and do that, smoke this, and Imam, you know, I feel this, and I can feel the presence. Forget all that. Shaitan is playing games with you. You want to feel great? You want to feel good? وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّي جَنَّتَانِ. Fear and be conscious of Allah and make the right decision regarding everything. And when you make the right decision, yes, it may hurt your pocketbooks. It may not make the husband or wife too happy, but it makes your Allah happy. And when you make your Allah happy, there is a spiritual current that is moving between you and Allah. Like, for example, you use your phone right now. Your phone doesn't have a phone line that's linked to something. There is something they do in the air, the rays comes down, or whatever they do. Those of you that know how this communication functions, and you are able to make that call. Wi-Fi. How does Wi-Fi function? There is a unique way. You pay your bill, and it's able to pull certain strength from certain places. As you know, I'm not technologically very advanced. And your phone functions. And you believe that. Why you believe that? Because your message is going through. And what message makes you happy? That little smiley face you send someone and they send you a smiley face back. You are happy and they are happy. Because you're connecting. Connection makes you happy. Smiley faces make you happy, yeah? People smile when you talk about smiley faces. Same thing, my brothers. When you connect with your Allah by making rightful decisions, inshallah, you'll have a smiley face when you awoke. You'll have a smiley face when you're alone. You'll have a smiley face when they text you or don't text you. You'll have a smiley face when you go to bed at night. You'll have a smiley face when your body is being washed for burial. You'll have a smiley face when you go into the grave as well. وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّي جَنَّتَانِ. Be conscious of Allah, and Allah will make your life a blessedness in this world as well as in the hereafter to come as well. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us and guide us at all times. وَآخِرُ دَعْوَانَا أَنِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. On your way out,